Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL, the podcast where we throw out the rule book, where we dive in head first to the real and raw, unapologetic journey of living the best life. That includes lots of music. This is your go-to space for empowerment, for deep healing and owning your authenticity like the boss that you are. We're here to break down walls and slay self-doubt. Vibe to the soundtrack of your soul. With every beat and lyric, we'll move through stories that heal and empower. You can live your fullest and most badass life. Welcome to The Authentic Life with KL. This episode of The Authentic Life of KL is brought to you by Break the Silence, a nonprofit created using music as a platform to raise awareness for mental health, suicide prevention, and recovery of all kinds, offering hope and starting the hard conversations to bring communities together. Hey guys, it's Kitty, and today's guest is the founder of the alternative metal band 13 Minutes. Welcome on, Jamie Kucinski. Thanks for joining me.
It's good to be here.
So how's your day been? How's life been?
Life is good. You know, what is it said? The old adage, I could complain, but it wouldn't do me any good anyway.
Understand.
So it's a good mantra to keep in front of me.
It is. So for people who may not know you or are not aware of you, who are you behind the music?
That's a good question. Well, I'm a husband to my wife, Salima, of 25 years now. I am a dad to my son, Julius, who just turned 21 years old.
Oh.
And, you know, I mean, and I, outside of that, depending on who you ask, they might give you a different story. Those are my two most important relationships in life.
So what is the last year of your life look like for you and for the band?
Well, we had a really, really good 2025. We dropped our Stay EP, which is kind of why I reached out to you. I saw what you're doing with mental health. Yeah. It's like, that might be a good conversation to have. But the tour was based around this idea that we inherently believe people are valuable. And we also understand that life is difficult. Life can be a battle. And we really wanted to take the message of hope and encouragement behind the EP out on tour with us. So the lyric is stay for the end of the show. And we really mean that. And we were blessed to be able to partner with Heart Support in the process and get the word out for what they do. Their catch is Healing the Scene. And Jake Lurs from August Burns Red is their founder. So we were really honored to be able to spread the word about Heart Support and give people resources and to help them through their daily battles.
I love that. Talk to me a little bit about the significance of the song Stay For You.
You know, I would call it, for me personally, it is what I would call an observation song. And forgive me, this might sound insulting, but I don't feel like it takes too much digging to see that suicide is at an all-time high right now.
Absolutely.
And as a human, looking around at my fellow humans, my heart goes out, and you have to sometimes ask why. You know, why are people struggling so bad? What is it that we're really looking at an all-time high of people feeling like the best thing for them is to take their life? And I don't know, I have a hard time sitting idly by. And so for me, the significance for that is just it. For I want to get the word out that one, I can't say it enough. You're not alone. You're just not alone. I may not even have the answers to what's going on, but I want to look you in the eyes and tell you, listen, there's somebody here that loves you. There's somebody here that values you. You are not alone in this world. And my hope is maybe that'll be enough.
Yeah. Sometimes you never know when you're in the right situation, randomly put there or not randomly, and you just have to say something. And I think that's where my whole platform was from. It was born from me losing my brother through drugs and then kind of going through that process, but then realizing there's one thing that all of us as humans have is during those harder times, we always feel like we're by ourselves, and we're not, but we inherently still feel that way no matter what. And so what better of a place, you know, songs and music and things like that to help reassure people too. It's an important message of not being alone.
Well, it's, I think sometimes we have to not be afraid to get in somebody else's way.
Yeah, oh, true.
Feelings are finicky. You know, we can feel great one day and feel like total crap the next.
Yeah.
And you're like, where did this come from? And now maybe you suffer a loss, or maybe you're going through something in life. Man, I got a buddy who's I just been admitted to hospice with the cancer battle he's been fighting for several years now. And I'm just like, I don't know. Most people I've ever encountered, including myself, won't reach out. And so sometimes we have to look and say, you know what, I love you enough to get in your way.
That's impactful, and that needs to be taken. There is a difference, I think, between getting in the way and like constantly being in someone's way, and knowing it's time for me to step in. And I think when you listen to, you could call it spirit, God, whatever you want to call it on your side, when you listen to what you're supposed to do, I think it's there, and I think you should always, always follow it. Always.
100%. 100%.
So talk to me a little bit about who you were growing up. I know a little bit about you now. Talk to me about kind of who was Jamie growing up.
Well, Kitty, I could keep you on all night with that story alone. But it's also important how it ties into why I'm a musician still.
Sure.
My upbringing was a mixed bag. I was a casualty of poverty and addiction and abuse. But that wasn't the whole of everything. There was some really good times too. But I had a mom who didn't have a lot of tools to work with in her life. And as a kid, you don't fully understand those things. You don't really process them until you're much older. All you knew sometimes is mom didn't love me, you know, kind of deal.
True, it's true.
Mom loved everybody else more than me.
Right.
And but you when you live in that mindset, you cherish the small moments that you can get with people who you call mom or dad. And my mom, she was old hippie. She loved the Grateful Dead. She loved telling stories about seeing Pink Floyd and all these great concerts of her era. And she had this raspy voice, and she had an acoustic guitar, and she used to love to sing Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles. And I loved listening to my mom sing that song. And my mom, by proxy, had a lot of other musician friends. They all used to get together and break out the acoustic guitars. And it was a pretty lively party because I grew up in this nomadic construction kind of company. So where the job called is where we went. And you know, you had this rough and tumble bunch of construction workers, and when the job was done, it was time to party. And when the party was there, it was lively and the music came out. But there was another side of it, because when the music stopped, you knew it was time to run and hide. Because things would typically find their way to violence, you know, and whether it be, you know, my mother being beat, or, you know, somebody getting into a fight, or, you know, just name it. I learned to identify very early that music was good, music was safe. When the music stopped, not so safe. And so that carried with me. I kind of explained it when I was a child, but you know, as I grew up and I started asking my why is this so important for me to do this? It was that relational thing. I maybe intrinsically I want people to feel safe like I did, you know, when
Sure.
the music was going. And so fast forward several years, my mom is now on her third husband. So, you know, we're a little poor kids, and you know, here we are, we're like, you know, the girlfriend's kids at the new Christmas at the Christmas this year. And it was a terrible place, but she married this guy, and he had a daughter named Sally. And Sally was 3 years my senior, and she used to invite me in just to hang out with her. And see, nobody did this because I was a kid nobody wanted to be around. I was a nerd. I was emotionally unstable. I would cry at everything. And it was terrible because you couldn't control the tears, and therefore you get picked on. And then you cry and you get picked on more because you cried. And then, you know, you kind
Makes
of
you
ostracized.
cry.
Yeah. And so here was this girl who, you know, said, no, I don't care about all that. Come on and hang out with me. And I was like, wow, this is great. And so she had this massive music collection. And anything that she had, she would let me borrow. And so I fell in love with Kiss. That was her favorite band, so again became my favorite band. And so I started studying up on the story that was Kiss, because I didn't see them in their heyday, but through Sally I learned about them, and I bought with my own money Alive 2. And if you've ever seen the internal cover of Alive 2, it's the 1977 stage with the 9-foot risers, the massive flames and the drums, and I'm like, I looked at the drum set and I said, that's what I want to do. I didn't know why, but it just looked like the coolest thing ever. And I didn't even know what that was, but it was cool, so I was going to do it. But Sally and I spent a lot of hours just listening to music. And Sally was really one of the first people that came along and said, you know what? I like you. You know, I like you enough to spend time with you. It's like, wow, that's cool. And so she was my hero for, you know, the short window that, you know, we were in proximity with one another. But still a picked on kid, still a nerd kid, still not liked, still poor, still had emotional issues. Going into junior high school, and I met a guy named Ryan. And everybody loved Ryan, right? Ryan was the cool kid. And I was living in this like crap trailer park where we didn't have running water, and this cool kid invited me to his house. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I found out this cool kid loved heavy metal. And we became friends because I didn't know many people at that point who liked the same music I did. And so I'd spent a lot of hours, and his room was decked out with Megadeth and Metallica and all the great thrash bands. And so that was our bond. And so you can see the progression here. So every important place in my life up to that, you know, had music. It had music. Then my mom decided to move again, and I found myself in this little podunk town called Kellyville, Oklahoma. My graduating high school class was 55. So heavy metal and skateboard culture and BMX culture, which is everything I loved it up, did not exist.
Not in
Country
Kellyville.
music and
Thank you.
football and football. And so I spent a lot of hours in my room by myself, you know, just kind of listening to metal. But, you know, I'd preach the gospel of metal to whoever would listen. And it's funny because my best friend became a guy named Jamie. And I still have the drawing he created for me. My first band, I had it all lined out. I was just a kid. It was going to be called Disorderly Conduct. And so I have this like caricature of this, like what I could only classify as a gangster baby, had a cigar and a diaper. I still got his drawing actually.
That's
And
fun.
but Jamie and I, we ended up going to like so many concerts together. And it's amazing that our moms let us run the neighborhood like we did, but they drop us off, say, I'll see you when the concert's done. And we'd run roughshod over the city on our bicycles, and we caught some really great concerts. And so it just kind of escalated from there. And when I was 19, I joined my first band, and I thought it was heaven. I finally arrived, even though I didn't, but it felt like it. And it was a band called The Simpletons. And you know, it's funny, you look back and you realize as a kid you don't fully appreciate what you were sitting in, because they were such a good band. But I was still a punk kid with a bad temper and a big ego, and I did not play well with others, and I quit after 6 months. And then I finally started my own band, which is a band called Downcast, and we lasted 2 years. And then I got all grown up and stuff. I got married, and I had what I would call a faith conversion. And I knew the way I was living, I couldn't live that way anymore. I would have destroyed myself. But I thought, you know what? I'll just clean up and we'll keep playing music. And it didn't happen that way. I was about to get an education, and learning how to be a husband, you know, was the big part of it. And one day we learned, hey, my wife's craving peanut butter. I'm not a smart man, but I kind of know what that means. And I was right. And this little guy came into my world and just changed me, wrecked me, man. And I started to realize there were a lot of things changing, and things that I felt were more important than the pursuit of this kind of superficial dream, if you will. And that's where I was at that point. And I don't consider what I do superficial today. There's definitely a lot more purpose. But I took some time away. I didn't have a dad, so I was not going to, abandon mine. So I didn't know what I was going to do, but I knew what I didn't want to do. I knew what I still, I've never met the man. And so I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So fun story, I'll fast forward a little bit. But we were in Oklahoma City just a few weeks ago. My son actually called me. He says, "Hey Dad, you want to go to concert with me?" So we were down in Oklahoma City to see Demon Hunter.
Oh, nice.
And but he wanted to bring his girlfriend. And I'm like, I don't mind. I know a lot of people, so you guys hang and I'll go hang and we'll congregate again and because at his age I wouldn't and wanted my dad hanging around with me and my
Right,
girlfriend. That's
right.
my mind anyway. So I'm hanging out in the back of the venue, just kind of enjoying the show, and I get this text. "Hey Dad, where are you?" I'm like, "I'm hanging out in the back." He says, "I came to hang out with you."
Dad.
I was like, I know it goes against like what I would think somebody would want, but
Sure.
it was a cool moment. Just, here my son is saying, he's 20 years old, says, "I want to hang out with you, Dad." And
Has to
so
make your heart happy, especially
it does.
coming from where you came from. Yeah.
And then we're a Demon Hunter. So, I mean, it's full circle stuff here.
Yeah. Yeah. So fun. What a great moment.
So, but yeah, there's so much more in there I could go into. I try to
Sure.
some of the high points, but yeah, music has been a safe space for me for a long time, and I'm glad to share it with people, especially my son,
Yeah, of
and
course.
I'm glad he's taken to metal. So
Yeah.
and so we have a regular discussion now, trying to plot out our concert calendars, which one we want to go to next together.
That's
So
fun.
we've seen recently we saw Killswitch Engage,
Nice.
so it was Killswitch and not Memphis Mayfire, that was the other one. Fit for a King.
Okay.
And so that was one of the most recent we went to. That was a great show.
I love concerts. I'm really a fan of hole in the wall concerts just because I like those so much more than the big, at the BOK Center and stuff like that. I just can't enjoy them as much as I can whenever it's like small and kind of more intimate. I like that so much more.
Kitty, I'm starting to find that there's a lot more people like that though, and
Yeah.
maybe it's that connection thing
Maybe
because you
so.
do get entertained at the big concerts,
Oh,
but you don't
yeah.
get the connection. And the
Yeah.
connection is that one-on-one, just kind of you have access.
You do. And I mean, music saved me after losing my brother in such a way that I have bands, now that I consider they're my friends. And it's because of those moments, those little teeny tiny moments that make such a big difference. And I would be the only ones there if I have to be the only one there to show at the hole in the wall, that's okay too. It's like I just really I love them. I love all the him-ha and all the big stuff, on the big stage, but there's something special about smaller shows, I think.
Who's your bands, if you don't mind me being nosy and asking?
Otherwise, I don't know if you know Otherwise, they're out of Las Vegas, but
Okay.
they are ones that the first time I met them, it was really impactful. I used some of their music at my brother's funeral. And then, of course, I had to go travel around and follow. But I met such a great community of people that I would say now are all my friends, true friends. And then those guys are my friends. And I wouldn't have it any other way. They saved me in a moment that was very difficult. And then the other one was another lost year.
Okay.
So.
I have to check them out.
Yeah, very, very good. The song from Otherwise that got me is called Heaven, and so we use that at my brother's funeral, but very impactful, so much. So
Well, good. I got new music to go listen to now,
yeah,
and music that
yeah.
means something to somebody. I
Yeah,
love
no, they're great. They're great people. And they're good people. They're a great band, but they're good people.
it's good.
So, talk to me about how 13 Minutes came about, the name and then the band. Talk to me about that.
Well, it's funny how life works sometimes. So I can catch right in there. I went about a decade just not I sitting on the sidelines.
Sure.
And so I'm starting to get older now. And I'm like, The industry is not exactly looking for guys like me to become rock stars. So my dream was changing a bit. But I didn't know what it was supposed to be yet. I knew I still had I had a passion for this thing. And even still at that point, I couldn't have told you with clarity why, like I am today. So I've had a lot of time to think about it. I just knew it was still there.
Sure.
But nothing was happening. And I'm like, oh, I'm so frustrated and angry and despondent. And was like, I'll be a little spiritual for a moment, but I had a prayer with God and I said this. I said, you know what? If this isn't your dream, take it from me. Palms up. I don't want it. I don't want to feel this way. And God is funny. So as soon as I kind of surrendered, I think would be the right word, a door opened.
Happens
And
that way, doesn't it?
yeah, and I'm not gonna lie. It went like this. So when I was trying to get a band together shortly after all my conversion things happening, I played with a guy named Joe, and I ran into Joe a decade later. He's like, "Hey, I'm getting my band back together, and we are looking for a drummer." I'm like, "Oh yeah, what's your band's name?" And he told me their name, and I'm like, "Oh no, that's not at all what I'm looking for." Because I had seen this band, and it was not my cup of tea remotely. It was nothing close to what I was looking for. But I couldn't shake the feeling that maybe you should at least consider it. So he saw the look on my face. He says, "Don't answer yet." And he says, "Do me a favor. Here's a CD. Go listen to it and pray about it." And I'm like, "Well, I can do that." So I was walking away. No. So I went home and I put the CD on for about 30 seconds. Was like, "No, I can't do this. I cannot do this." And so I'm laughing about this with my wife, who's been through all my ups and downs and failures with trying to get bands together. And I'm laughing about this thing, and she looks at me and does something very uncharacteristic. She says, "Jamie, what do you got to lose?" I'm like, "What? You're supposed to agree with me. You're supposed to tell me not to do it. It's okay if this isn't your thing. You're supposed to, tell me don't do this." And here you are saying, "Go try it." That's how I knew I needed to go. That's if she's looking at me saying, "You need to go do this," I'm like, "I will go try this." And so I met up with them and I said, "You know what, guys? I kind of liked them. They're good dudes." And so we had a meeting at a diner and had, shook hands and started the journey. So at this point, I had no understanding of what was coming. I was just saying, "You know what? I'm here. I'm going to live in this moment. It's an opportunity. It's a ready-made band. All I got to do is play drums, and if I just get to play a bar once a month, I guess that's good enough, you know?" And but little by little, it started building. One of the things I prayed about whenever I started this journey 15 years ago now. I didn't want it to be a narcissistic, look at me, worship me kind of deal. I didn't want to play rock star. I wanted to take what I had and try to do something better for the world around me. That was the season I was in. That's where my heart was. And so immediately I started trying to figure out what that looked like. And we were coming up on the first Christmas that I had with this band. I'm like, "You know what? Maybe we can do something for Christmas." And so my wife and I started talking again about a moment we had right after we first got married. We were living in Houston, Texas. And we were freshly married, knew nobody, looking for community. My wife loved Christmas. I love my wife. And a Christmas party volunteer opportunity happened. And so we signed up to go volunteer at this children's Christmas party. And we get there and we are going through this like whole gamut of rules, like don't ask their name. Okay, that's weird. Don't ask about where they're from. Kind of party is this? But I was there to serve. So I'm like, "Okay, whatever we got to do, we're here." And so we get into the party and we see the kids and we start talking to them. And very quickly we learn why the rules exist. I met a little boy who did not know it, but he was about to change me. And he was 8 years old. I didn't ask because I'm not supposed to, but like a lot of 8-year-olds, he told me. I didn't
Here's
ask
all
what he wanted for Christmas or anything, but he wanted to tell me what he was looking forward for Christmas. And I loved talking with this little boy, made my whole night. And he was very normal by 8-year-old standards with one massive difference. He had been burned on over 80% of his body by his parents. I learned of an organization called Court Appointed Special Advocates. And I was at a CASA Christmas party. And as m my wife and I started reflecting on this, I'm like, I wonder if they have a CASA here. So I go look in and I find out they have a Tulsa CASA. I had no idea that it was multi-city. So I call Tulsa CASA and I voice on the phone. I asked, do you guys have a Christmas party here, with your organization? They're like, yeah. It's like, that's great. I said, my name's Jamie Kaczynski. I'm in a heavy metal band and I want to help your party.
okay.
That's exactly the response to 60 seconds of odd silences. And so the voice on the other end of the line is like, okay, what do you have in mind? I was like, well, we just want to throw a concert for presents. Can we do that? And nothing novel, it's just everybody's doing, toy drives. And
Yeah.
it was something we could do with what we had. And she's like, yeah. Do you need anything? I'm like, no, we just need your permission. And so I walk out I'll leave that phone call and I start trying to put together my first show ever. And so I pull together every resource, every donation that I could conjure up. I, tried to sell this thing. I heard way more no's than yeses because nobody knew me yet. They had better things to do. And finally, I put together a ragtag bunch of bands. One I pulled from Oklahoma City. One was a band that I met along the way when I got started called Idify, and then my band Far From Sanity. And we threw a Christmas concert, and nothing novel, but it was great to do it. Now, as we started doing this, my wife said, "We're gonna have goodies at your concert." And I'm like, "There, this is a heavy metal concert. We don't have goodies." Like, no. She's like, "Well, we do now." And so I started, not only was I trying to fundraise and raise toys, I started politicking for goodies. It's very metal. So I ended up pulling in, I think we had 13 homemade cakes and pies donated, 200 cookies. And I'm sitting there at the day of the show looking at this going, what are we going to do with this stuff? So we started raffling off these baked goods to these metalheads, and you would have thought we were giving them gold. Like this homemade baked pie was like the best thing ever, and I'm like, you're absolutely right, baby. So, well done. Thank you for the suggestion. And we brought in 211 toys that year, and 72 people showed up total with all the bands. I remember the numbers well. I remember shutting down the lights with the guy who helped me set it all up, and I felt good. I felt good. We did it. We didn't know what we were doing at first, but we brought this thing to life, and the way we kind of imagined it, just we wanted just a collective of people rolling up their sleeves, nothing of compulsion, just coming out and just be generous.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to bring more toys in, but 211 is what we had. So I load them up in the back of my SUV and I take them down to the office. And I'm like, man, I wanted to do so much more.
Yeah.
And so I go up and I get a couple volunteers, a couple of the CASAs to come help me unload them. And I pop open the back of my truck and I'm not really prepared for what happens next. They start crying. And I'm looking over this and I'm doing the only thing that a reasonable person would witnessing this. I started crying with them. So I hear these strangers
Absolutely.
crying.
What?
So we load up all the toys, and I'm talking to the lady who I first talked to, the one that was like, yes, her name's Paula McKay. She's the executive director at the time of CASA. And I'm walking out the door, and she stops me. She says, "Jamie, we really appreciate what you did for us." She says, "If you feel like doing it again, the kids we serve are being moved from home to home with no warning of their movement. And a lot of these kids are carrying everything that they belong in pillowcases, trash bags, just whatever they can find. We sure could use something to give them dignity. Duffel bags, suitcases, backpacks. If you consider doing another show, would you consider it?" I'm like, "Well, Paula, that's all I got to say. I'm doing a second show." And so away we went. And so we built this momentum up. And as I started doing this more and more and more and more, I met a lot more people. And word caught out of what was going on in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And people started traveling in for it. And it was just, I don't know. I just look at it and I'm like, wow, this is great. So we ended up serving 9 counties here in the Tulsa area of CASA. We brought in, through the generosity of those that came to a heavy metal show, 6,500 presents. We ended up serving the Tulsa Advocates for the Protection of Children, the Child Abuse Network. Bikers Against Child Abuse connected with us. And so here there was this movement from the seed, just we wanted the little boy in Houston, Texas, that would change my future. He was responsible for that. And the company ended up be calling Mosh Pits and Cupcakes, because every year after the goodies, my wife still goes anywhere in the region. If she's with me and they see her, "Did you bring cupcakes tonight?" They became things of legend. And she would go. The week before our event, she would cook up 500 homemade cupcakes. And we're not just talking generic ones. We're talking Mountain Dew cupcakes, pecan pie cupcakes, all this. I think my favorite was, gosh, it had like a strawberries and cream cupcakes. And so she became legendary in her own right, and bringing all this really, I would call it love. So here we have a concert. We had all the bells and the whistles. We had some pretty extreme metal bands at times, and we had some not so extreme metal bands. We had old people, we had young people, we had black people and white people, we had people who believe like us, people who don't believe like us. And all we were doing was coming together to support these kids that are dealing with things that no human ever should have to. And at the end of it, we're looking at it going 6,500 toys. And now if you take $10, so just hypothetically $10 a toy, you can do the math. So that was the start. And then the season of Far From Sanity ended. The vocalist wanted to do something else, and the rest of the band wanted to kind of stay the course with where we were headed. Rottweiler Records was the label that approached us as we were still Far From Sanity. And when everything kind of broke apart, it was the label that still called me the following week after the announcement and said, "Jamie, you still with us?" Like, I didn't know that was an option. And Sean Browning was the founder's name. He says, "Get your new vocalist. Let's keep working." I'm like, "All right." So it was December 6th of 2015 that 13 Minutes was unofficially born. We got our vocalists and head back to the studio and started working on our first album. But that was just a little over a decade ago now. And so it was the remnants of what came before. So without that springboard, 13 Minutes does not exist. But we took everything we learned there, brought into this new band, and we just kept going.
What a
So we
great story.
still have a heart for that very thing, which I think you've noticed with some of my
Yeah.
show choices,
Yeah, no, that's if you ever need someone to come do interviews or if I can just volunteer my time, please. I absolutely will. I love your advocacy that you do and that, well, and also that you're local, that you're doing that because I know that there is a big music scene, within Tulsa somewhat, but the scene of music and community is something I live for that, and usually I have to go out of town for that, so I love to know that it's so close.
You don't have to anymore, Kitty.
I love that. So the music, your music tends to touch on, at least the music I've listened to, on identity and mental health and all life be life and stuff. Is that done on, I guess, purposefully when you guys write? Do you write from experiences? Or are you just trying to get things out? Talk to me about that process.
I think it depends on which band member you ask. There are some people that have written with me that have very much experienced some of those battles. And then there's some things that we look at from a topical kind of aspect and say, what would that, what would that sound like if we wrote a song about it? So it just really depends. If the song, I don't really say, well, it's got to be a personal or it's got to be topical. But I would say that it has to have teeth. There's got to be a little more than just, hey, we're going to party and we're going to dance. And not that there's anything wrong with the joy and celebration, but I want to tackle those things. That's why I got into metal. I got into metal because metal addresses and talks about things that a lot of people are afraid to talk about, such as child abuse.
There's a lot of hard topics right now, just across the board for everyone, emotionally and just living life. So it's very important to have that available. Have you had any fans talk to you about the impact that the music has had on them?
Yes, and sometimes I'm not always ready for it. I received a message the other day, and of course everything with anonymity, but in dealing with some of the things that we're staring down at right now, such as child sex trafficking, child abuse, one of the things that is still not talked about a lot is the amount of men who were sexually abused. And I those doors are opening, and I'm like, you don't know me. But I'm honored to be a safe space for people to at least open the door to find freedom and healing from something that happened to them. And I don't always have the answers, but sometimes, just looking and saying, I can be safe with you. And I mean, that means the absolute world to me. I don't take it lightly at all. I could, again, been doing this 10 years with 13 minutes. I got story after story after story. And I will tell you, this last summer, part of what we were doing with the Stay campaign, and I don't know if you've looked over some of the art that I presented out there, but I have, I simply, I was looking and I saw our character on the Stay banner looking out on the cliff. And it just hit me. I was like, what if he wasn't there? What if he decided to jump? That picture remains incomplete forever. And I'm like, wow. So I ran with that and I ordered a bunch of puzzle pieces. Ordered a bunch of little metal puzzle pieces to give away with every CD. And I tell the story for everybody who wants to listen about their value. And I put that puzzle piece square on the CD cover and I put it there. I said, that's you. I said, if you go away, this picture will never be complete. And I will tell you, I was met with more tears this year again than I'm ready for most of the time. But just to see the impact, just to see the aha moments when people got it, like, I understand. I understand. I have a niece, and I got this story yesterday. She is 8 years old. I can show you a picture. She One of my favorite pictures from our summer finale last year was my niece has taken her picture with our what I will call our cult leader, our Kool-Aid man. He draws a lot of eyes, but she wanted a picture with him. But one of the things she also wanted is she wanted a puzzle piece. And she loves the song Stay at 8 years old. And to understand a little bit about her, my sister-in-law adopted her. her dad is gone already. A short, just a short lifespan. So my sister-in-law adopted her, and so she's dealt with a life in just a short window that a lot of kids shouldn't have to. And this song is the one that grabbed her at 8 years old. And so she was mad at her mom, though, the other day because she thought her mom lost her puzzle piece. She was wearing her Stay t-shirt and she wanted her puzzle piece. And so my sister's calling me. I need another puzzle piece before she comes back home. I didn't lose it, but I don't know where it went. So I'm about to put together a little card for my niece and a new puzzle piece on a bracelet to go with it. So 8 years old. It's crazy, but it's awesome.
Impactful. That's impactful. So impactful. It's needed. It's so needed. There's so many things. I think whenever I did a music festival, I did we did mirrors, like little mirrors, and it said, look in the mirror, you're impactful, or like little disco balls, like you're light, you're more light than you know. But it's
Ooh, I like
those.
that.
Yeah, I call them all little post-it notes for people because, that's what they are to keep us on track, because our mind sometimes will tell us things that are absolutely made up stories. And our mind, especially when you're talking about mental health and things like that, it's just, I'm going to say it's just crazy what our mind does, right? Because you have your subconscious trying to protect you, and then you have your inner child, and then you have this, and then you have that. And sometimes all we need is a beautiful post-it note, whether it be a puzzle piece or whatever that may be, to make us redirect ourselves. And so that's really impactful. I love that puzzle piece.
Yeah, I think just those little touch points. So I signposts, if you will.
Yeah.
Yeah, for us, for me, I literally, with everything that is in me, I do not believe our interactions are accidental.
I don't either. Yeah.
Not one bit. And I believe in the inherent beauty and value of everybody that I encounter. So
You and I are hearts common like that. So I it's and that's my mission. My mission is like, do you have a story to tell? Let me allow you to tell your story. Do you? It's like, it's but the thing is the more that we talk about these things, the more other people have the opportunity to see, oh, okay, so you mean you struggled? Like, because a lot of people, especially on social media, you don't see the behind the scenes. You only see the flower after it's blossomed, or before it goes dormant, right? You don't, you only see the bloom. You don't see all the stuff it took to get there, and you don't see what happens afterwards, in the consistent transition that we do. And so I think it's so important to share these kind of things,
Reading.
Yeah. And I'll just follow it with how does that make you feel when you hear these stories? I imagine it makes you feel very humbled and just grateful.
Humbled is the right word.
Is that
Everything I get to experience today is more than my mind could have ever comprehended 15 years ago. And I had a simple prayer. Lord, let me make this more than about me. And I'll say mission accomplished.
Yeah. And I would say you said that you kind of just said, okay, I give in. Can I want to talk because I've been through a similar thing. So when you did you immediately feel, or within a very soon time frame, like a weight lifted off of your chest because you're like, fine, finally I'm gonna listen and do it. Did it feel a lot more like lighter, or did you have more hesitation still?
No, once I finally give in to whatever is in front of me, I'm pretty gung-ho about whatever's next.
Yeah.
It's getting to that place that's the tough point for me because I create my own narratives, and sometimes it's really hard for me to let my personal narrative go and just be. I get tunnel vision sometimes and stubborn, and so sometimes it takes me a lot to get from here to here. And but when I finally get here and I have aha, and it's like, let's go. And so, yes, definitely a weight lifted.
Yeah, I always felt like there was the weight lifted because it feels like, well, I don't know what to do. And you're kind of just in your own head and stuff. And finally you're like, okay, fine, I'm gonna let it go. Something great's gonna happen, then let's just see what happens. And there it comes unfolding for you because you finally let go of the control. Because in the end, I mean, we might have some control, but not a whole lot.
I think we can steer things a little bit, but there's so many factors and variables that are out there that you have no control over. Just ride the wave and have a good time.
Absolutely. So why do you think music connects so deeply with people?
I have a my son. I'm gonna talk about my son again really quick. He got me one of the most beautiful Christmas gifts the year before last. And I'm going to kind of echo the words that were in this video. He got me one of those cameos, and it was a cameo from one of my absolute favorite lyricists of all time, Jesse Leach of Killswitch Engage. And Jesse spoke for about 5 minutes, and he went deep. And I'm just sitting there like my son couldn't wait to give it to me, and I'm glad that he wasn't there because I ugly cried like it was nobody's business, dude. It was so profound and so beautiful, and Jesse took so much time to speak to this guy. And one of the things he was talking about is how sound waves impact water. And our water is, our body's made up of 70% water. And these waves hit it. You feel it. You don't just hear, you feel. Like, how amazing of a thought is that? These things are happening. You don't really even realize it's happening to you, but they're having an impact on your whole soul. Whether you want them to or not, because that is hitting you. And as it hits you, it's moving. And it's not just moving on you, it's moving through you. And I'm like,
Energetically aligned.
ooh.
No, that is something to think about, because when you're at a show and that's happening, everybody's usually aligned, with the same thing, and that's why.
So very much that's my thought on it. And I think people have different whys. For me, it was safety. It was safety. I felt safe when music was going. Now, I'm not saying everywhere you go is safe, but for me personally, I realized when I could retreat into my room. When I wasn't getting yelled at, when I wasn't getting hit, when I wasn't getting bullied, I could just be there and safe. I imagine there's a lot of people out there like me looking for that safe spot. And when they find it, and they find somebody that is like them too, like, oh, I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And I'm like, how profound, how profound. And maybe I go way too deep with this. I tell people, I don't just hear music. I see it. I feel it. It is a holistic experience for me when I find that song and I can live there. And, I never really gave it a lot of thought before the recent years of how many people were there. I mean, as a kid, you're kind of insular and you think about you. And as you get a little older and you realize the world is a lot bigger than your little space, and you start realizing that there was a lot more people like you than you actually thought were there. And so here I am, this insular kid being poked fun of and unsafe, and I'm isolating myself, trying to find safety. And then I meet a lot of people out there that did the very same thing, that have a common story. And then we connect. We realize this music, it's hitting us. We're not alone.
And part of you heals when you find that. I just, for people to share their stories and connect with other people is of utmost importance. That is the way to find your way out. If you're in a hole or a dark place, it's uncomfortable getting out, and trying to find those things, but it really can help you.
I think sometimes it gives us words we didn't know, we didn't know existed. For me, I was a kid, and metal for me was that place I wanted to scream, somebody see me, somebody hear me, somebody save me. I didn't have the words as a kid, nor did I feel safe putting them out there, but here you have these guys that would. And that was powerful for me.
Yeah, and being seen, being that's a great point too, is in this world, I think that's what so many of us need or needed. And so now us that needed it, now we have that to give to other people, and we can connect and create a bigger, community that we see people. And it doesn't I think seeing them and possibly knowing that they have been through so much, but we still see them just as a person and needing connection. And I think that is so valuable.
Exactly.
If someone listening feels lost and they don't really know what direction to go or what to do, what would you tell them? What would you want them to know?
Stand still.
Shut your mouth and your head. Like, stop, turn it off.
Is amazing what can happen internally if you would just stand still and recalibrate for just a moment. Take a deep breath. Gather yourself, focus, and get your mind straight. Sometimes motion is not the right thing, and we're told that we have to be always be in motion, always doing something. If you're not doing something, you're not accomplishing anything, and we get these messages. And I'm sorry, it's just not working. It's not working. We're overstressed, we're overstimulated, we're anxiety and suicide, and more emotion is not always the best thing. So if you're not sure where to go, if you're feeling like you're just going in circles, there's probably a reason why. So stop, stand still, recalibrate.
It's great advice. We do, especially those of us that have anxiety, everything's very cyclical. So once you get caught in that tornado, if you just stay there for a little bit until you become still, and then that's usually when you can find your way out of that. So what's this could be a whole show because I've been watching you. What's coming next? What kind of things do you have coming up?
Well, we start this Saturday. I always look for themes for my year, something I can dig into. Last year was stay, and this year we're going to unleash the panic. We have a new single dropping April 10th that I'm really, 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 really excited about. You've seen the artwork. And it's a panic. It's panic, and it's funny. We were just talking about our minds, and there's an old proverb: a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And oftentimes, when we're double-minded, we just feel that anxiety. We can't function. It's too much, and that's what the song really is about: is trying to explore what's going on inside of us when that happens. And so we're kicking that off with that song. And yeah, everything really is kind of built around there. We're still handing out the puzzle pieces. I got a whole lot. Listen, they've gone far. I had a friend of mine from Michigan that came to one of the festivals, and he says, "Do you mind if I take this idea to celebrate recovery?" I'm like, "It's not my idea. Go ahead." It is anybody who wants to go and make it yours. Go and make it yours.
I love that. I may take them to the festival, Break the Silence Festival in Colorado then, because I
Are you
love
going
that
to Break
idea.
Silence Festival? Very cool. Yeah, I've been paying attention to what's going on with that one. Nice.
She sponsors the podcast, and then we went there last year. Was the first time, and I got to interview people there and just kind of be present and let people be seen. So this year we're going to do some fun stuff too. So it's a great thing, and she's always looking for people to come there if you guys travel. But it's suicide
Oh, good trouble.
awareness, mental health, and recovery.
Well, I mean, if she's looking for artists, just send her my way. Yeah,
Okay.
we travel. We're going to Mexico in a month.
Okay.
So we went, well, this will be our second time in Mexico. Last year we were up in Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, Wilmore, Kentucky.
Okay.
We're going Greentown, Indiana, Oshkosh, Wisconsin last year. So we rarely actually play Tulsa. So
Okay.
whenever we do, it's a nice treat. But yeah, we're already gearing up. I got a festival booked. Gosh, let me think of my Hickory, North Carolina. So I'm gonna make a stop in Nashville, Hickory, North Carolina for a festival out there. Got a few other ones. There may be a second Nashville festival. I'm
Okay.
waiting on the word back from that, dealing with mental health, actually. So then there's another one going on, and it's not necessarily a festival, but I'm really excited about it. Advocacy. We got a great organization here in town called the Demand Project. And July 30th, is the event. I can't say a whole lot about it because I don't want to overshoot their announcements, but the Demand Project is a holistic care program for those removed from sex trafficking. So what I'm involved in walking with them this year is to help them with awareness and fundraising and of the work they're doing right here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So they have a facility here where they bring kids pulled from the sex trade, and they give them the tools to leave the sex trade and build a life, a healthy life. One of the things that is big on theirs is if you don't equip them with resources and tools and education and support, they will go back into the trade because it's comfortable. It's what they know.
Sure.
And it's amazing that we have that kind of facility right
Yeah.
here in this area. So when you see me talk about the Demand Project, that's what I'm referring to. July 30th is Child Sex Trafficking Awareness, World Awareness Day.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff coming up as far as announcements around that. So just stay tuned. It's never too late to get involved. Go to their website. I think you would really, really like what they're doing, and there's ways to get involved even outside
Okay.
of anything that I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'll definitely connect.
Yeah, they're doing great work right here in Tulsa. It's so cool. And I'm honored just to take this little thing that I have and
Huh.
connect it with what they're doing. And so that is really a kind of, I think it may even be the highlight of my year with everything else. I mean, I think just knowing that we're part of the solution is
Yeah,
going to.
that's really what it is. It's just showing people that there is light out there, there is goodness out there. If you keep your eyes open for only dark, there is plenty to see. But if you will look, there are lots of people that just are shining light trying to help. So.
So, but new music, festival booking. We are playing a few local shows. Let me speaking of, we're talking about local, but Music is Medicine Festival, Rockavet.
Yeah.
I'm excited to be part of what they're doing with PTSD awareness for our veterans. I'm excited to see what happens. It's home. So
Yeah.
I don't get the pleasure of being home as much as I like. It's funny, when I was younger, I wanted to go out there,
Yeah.
but now I'm starting to say, you know what? There's a lot right here too. So let me see how I can be a little bit more involved in my local music community. And I think that's a good step for us. I'm excited to be part of it. I'm excited to see their first year and how it goes. So
Yeah.
we got that. And gosh, yeah, just a lot going on right now. So,
Okay.
but lots of road time. New music. We're gonna be releasing a song in with respect to the message that we've been talking about called "Seeing is Deceiving," and I'm hoping I can get the release date on July 30th as well.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah, the big idea of the song is this: it's the struggle of met through the eyes of a child of somebody who's abused them, and the same abuser tells them that Jesus loves them, and the struggle that that wreaks internally.
Yeah.
And so, it happens more often than we want to talk about, but we're in heavy metals and we're going to talk about it.
I love that you will reach and talk about the topics. That's where you're going to find your people. You know, I know you have plenty of people, but those people will find you because you're shining so bright with topics that people are scared to talk about. And that is the epitome of authenticity. You know, that is everything about it. Yeah.
There's a great book, if you're a reader, and I think you are.
Yeah.
It's called The Day Metallica Came to Church.
Okay.
And it really gives a really great insight. It's not a preachy book at all. I love the title. And actually, Metallica got involved a little bit when they found out this guy was writing it. But the premise is that truth does not cease to be truth, even though truth may not come from, say, a Christian. So there is truth in art if you look closely, if you look for the truth. And I really take that mantra into what I do. Obviously I profess Christianity and I'm not apologetic. I'm careful with it, but not apologetic for it. I understand that not everybody believes like I do, and everybody has a reason why they may not, or they may. I never presume that I'm going to fully understand where you're at. But when I do interact with people, I want to find what connects us. Where is our human connection? Because in spite of differences and viewpoints and beliefs, we're not as different as we may think we are. And as an artist, I don't really want to put a platform out there that says we are explicitly for Christians or we're not for people who don't believe like us. Our faith is going to show. I mean, you can't not be what you aren't. And so we're not going to try to be something we're not to appease people on both sides. We're simply going to be what we are, and hopefully our authenticity shines and people will see it for what it is genuine, authentic art.
Yeah, the message is deep. And I've always said this to people whenever they ask me about my faith and things like that. If you're open to receive a message from God, source, universe, whatever you believe in, you can go anywhere. You can not be Christian and go to a Christian church. You can go anywhere, receive a message if you are connected. I just truly believe that. And I think you can also find that in people as well.
Well, it says, seek and you shall find. Seek and you shall find. So I also, there's another way of looking at it. You'll see what you're looking for.
Oh, hands down. Hands down. Oh, that's a great one too. So, where can everyone find you other than on the road? Where can they find you?
Well, my preference is on the road because that means I can shake your hand and hug your neck and talk with you and be human with you, and that's my favorite thing and why I still do this. However, if you just want to listen to some tunes, we're on all platforms, your Spotify's, your Apple Music, what else we got out there? Deezer. There's so many now. I don't know them all. If you want to interact with us, I am the guy that you'll interact with if you're on the socials. I'm the guy behind the Instagram and the Facebook and the YouTube keyboard. Trying to